Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Zits. Carol Burnett said, adolescence is just one big walking pimple. One of the most awkward stages in human development. Obviously, you're born, and whether you stay in that family or adopted into another one, you go through lots of stages, and sooner or later you get to adolescence, and it's pretty rough. And if you've got kids from 13 to 19 or somewhere in there, or have done that or headed that direction, and you're alive, you've been there yourself if you're an adult, or at least claim to be one, it's a pretty rough time. And today what I'd like to do is take a kind of a spiritual approach to adolescence and look at Christians who behave like adolescents and kind of Christian puberty, if you will. Let me read you a few quotes, just some information here I found. The word adolescent comes from the Latin word aduare, which means to grow up. So it's a time when we feel like we're growing up, we're trying to grow up, and a lot of changes. Britney Spears' song, I'm Not a Girl, Yet Not a Woman, Somewhere Trapped. If you've seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite, I mean, from tater tots to tetherball to just the awkwardness and self-consciousness and insecurities, low self-esteem, awkward appearance. I've got a nephew right now who's 16 and he's about 6'9". And my dad was 14, about 6'5 growing up. And there's just something about, you know, your weight catching up with your height. And it just takes a while and you're moving. And, you know, we've all been through these awkward things. Your body's developing. And you're feeling like you're an adult and you're grown up. And yet you run back home. There's certain things you want. And, you know, you're a little kid one minute and then you're a grown up the next. And it's just this tough place to be. Uma Thurman said, I spent the first 14 years of my life convinced that my looks were hideous. Adolescence is painful for everyone, I know, but mine was plain weird. Barbara Brownwell said, the biggest mistake parents make is thinking they're done parenting when adolescence kicks in. They just have to take a step back but remain involved. They can't let the child push them out of their lives. Jules Pfeiffer said, at 16, I was stupid, confused, and indecisive. At 25, I was wise, self-confident, prepossessing, and assertive. At 45, I am stupid, confused, insecure, and indecisive. Who would have supposed that maturity is only a short break in adolescence? Alan Alden Nolan said, the day the child realizes that all adults are imperfect, he becomes an adolescent. The day he forgives them, he becomes an adult. The day he forgives himself, he becomes wise. And one, I don't know who said this, but adolescence defined as children old enough to dress by themselves if they could just remember where they last saw their clothes. I remember, and I've shared all these stories. I can't remember what I share anymore. But, you know, when your dad's 14 and 6'4 or 5, and you're 14 and you're 5'2, and when I was 14, you know, in 1974, it was kind of cool to have long hair. So I had long hair over my ears. And, you know, one day I'm driving at 14 because I got my license in Arkansas. So you can drive when you're 14 with an adult. So I'm in the car and get pulled over, and the officer looks through, you know, doesn't even come to my side because it's clearly a child driving the car, you know, peers through my dad's side of the car and says, Miss, can I see your driver's license? It's just not a big moment as a 14-year-old boy to be called Miss. So I whipped it out, didn't say anything, and then I think he figured out that there was a man buried under all that hair somewhere. So you get through it. But the challenge is, in a spiritual sense, I don't know that some people ever grow up spiritually. And I've been processing this and part of pastoring a church and trying to figure out what's going on in a church and where people are, is you just can't say, well, you know, somebody's not a Christian, then they're born again the way John 3 talks about it, or they're adopted into this family, but clearly something changes, so now you're alive spiritually. Well, you can't just stay a baby the rest of your life, or can you? And there are clearly some people who just stay in that infant stage a long time. I'll just run through these stages, at least from a physical development. You've got infant, toddler, the primary school age, kind of that 4 to 12-year-old, and elementary school is the 4 to 8 block in there, pre-adolescence or pre-teen, late childhood, kind of 9 to 12. Then adolescence or puberty, the teenage years, 13 to 19, young adult, 16 to 25, adult, 16 to 21, early adulthood, 20 to 39, middle age, gosh, that just sounds like a terrible thing, but anyhow, 40 to 59, and then this particular article classified it as advanced adult, senior citizen, 60 plus, and the only thing after that was death that they mentioned. So if you're advanced, you're close to the finish line. Advanced adult, that sounds a lot better than senior citizen. You like that, don't you? Can you hear me all right down there? Yeah, just making sure. Our advanced adults. Hopefully, spiritually, you say, okay, well, let's take the parallel. I'm born again, and it's okay. I'm an infant for a while, and infants are very needy, and you're in the family, and everybody's meeting all your needs and taking care of you. Then you get to those two-year-old things where I can do it by myself. So we say, okay, but you know, you got to be there to help them because they're going to screw up. But you know, hopefully you grow out of that. But what I've observed and what I'm trying to figure out, honestly, is that it appears to be that Christians, and in particular people who are involved in churches, and maybe they get away from churches for what we're going to talk about, get connected and they're in the stream, they're all excited and family's great, and all of a sudden, church, we're all idiots. And it's not I can do it by myself, is I'm an adult, and church is now going to become just a little bitty piece of my life because I'm out of here. And you guys don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. I have my own identity. I have my own life. I need my independence. And instead of being in a family and going out into the world to operate, we go out in the world and have some slight connection with the family. Dave Barry said, to an adolescent, there is nothing in the world more embarrassing than a parent. I've discovered even in our church through the years that there are certain people who think that what we're doing, they think, well, it's a great concept. It's a multicultural, multi-economic, it's a little bit everybody, and they think it's cool, but they don't want to have anything to do with those people. And maybe you're one of these adolescent Christians who blow in here and you sit down and you say, well, you know what? I think this is very interesting, and I want to be able to identify with it. If I need you, if I got somebody getting married, you're supposed to marry me. And if I got somebody that I got to bury, you're supposed to bury him. I want the benefits of this thing, this family, but I don't want you messing with my life. And so these people kind of come through, and they get involved however much they want to, because, you know, I'm an adult now. I don't need you. But yet when I need you, I want to control when I need you. Now, the challenge as a parent with a kid like that in a family, if you got one, or as a pastor, elders of a church, people trying to lead a church, is you got to put up with these people. And they come in, and they do their little bit, and I'll help with this if I want to, and I'll do that if I want to, and you're going to take care of me, and if I need money, you're going to help me with money, but you know what? You can expect nothing from me. And I'm in the family, but I don't want to be connected to this family because I'm ashamed, really, of this family because you people are so backwards and I am so cool. Now, hopefully what happens, if the devil doesn't suck you out to sea thinking that way too long, you grow up. And if you grow up, what happens, even in this process of physical development, is that all of a sudden, at about 20, 30 years of age, you realize your parents may be brilliant after all. Maybe they did know what they were talking about. Maybe they had been down the road. Maybe sleeping around didn't work out for you, and they tried to tell you that because it didn't work out for them. Maybe, you know, getting a job, getting education, all these things mattered, but no one can tell you anything. And so we stand back, we put up with it, and we let you make your mistakes on your own. But hopefully what happens is you cycle back around and say, you know what, God, I screwed up. And I'm not ashamed of this family. And then you realize you have responsibilities. And what's fascinating to me, the older I get, I feel a mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, everything you can say, responsibility. If my father gets sick and is incapacitated and has to be taken care of, that is not somebody else's problem. That is my problem. And we want to, you know, maybe somebody ends up in a nursing home because you can't take care of them physically at home anymore. But let me tell you something. Part of being a family, you put up with some junk for a little while, but you expect people to grow up. And we're going to put up with a little of your junk for a little while. And if you're out there beyond here listening on radio or in your car somewhere, you know what? It's time to grow up. And however long, you see, adolescence may last 13 to 19. The tragedy is that some Christians are adolescents for 50 years. They say, well, why is my life not working? I don't have any friends. I don't know anybody. The church doesn't care about me. And this is what's always fascinating me. Well, I go to that church, and when I left, nobody called me. Maybe you didn't know anybody. And anybody that tried to approach you, you're so cool and so bad and so, oh, well, I'll just pick and choose. You pick and choose yourself right out of here. Because when you got in trouble, nobody called you. Well, what kind of church is that? Nobody called you. What kind of Christian are you? You can't even get connected to a church. You say, well, all this is very harsh. Feels good to me. Now, am I saying you can't be a pubescent Christian? Absolutely not. But let's allow for this for a little while. But you know what I'm watching for? I'm watching for you to make the turn and step up the plate and say, you know what? I'm not ashamed of this family. This is where I'm supposed to be. And if this is where I'm supposed to be, I'm going to get connected. I'm going to take some responsibility. There's something about being. And see, God tries to gather us as a family, and we'll read some scripture in a minute, tries to make us one, tries to get us operate together. And yet there's always, always somewhere in the church, this rebellious, resist authority. All you got to do is say, we're going to have small groups and get together and try to build a church. And the adolescents in the church say, well, maybe you are, we're not. And we're going to start our own group. You got your group, but because you have your group, we don't need your group, because your group, if we go to your group, it means we have to be all mature and grown up and supportive of what's going on. So we'll just start our own and we won't cooperate. Just do anything opposite of what's going on, right? You tell kids, this is where we're going. I don't want to go there. Do this. I don't want to do that. So churches live with this stuff too. Now, the positive thing is, as you do this long enough, you discover that people kind of make the turn. And they all of a sudden wake up and say, you know what? Somebody's in trouble. That's not the church's problem. They look in the mirror and go, you know what? I'm part of the church. I'm not going to write a little check and pay somebody to go take care of that. That's my job. And what is so awesome, I can go through the room today and I can tell you who the grown-ups are. I'm not talking about adults physically. I can tell you who the grown-ups are by the people who step up the plate, and when there's a need, when there's ministry that needs to take place, they don't go call in the office saying, hey, something needs to happen, y'all need to send somebody over there. They take initiative. They're all grown up. And we're going to talk today about trying to move you that way. Now turn to Proverbs. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 1, and I'm just going to read you. There's a ton of places we could go today, but let me at least start with this. Proverbs chapter 1, and you can read the rest of it on your own time here, but we've read some of these in the past. Solomon talking to his son David and understanding, Solomon knowing David is going to grow up, he's going to have to figure these things out, and he gives him some advice. And let's start in verse 20. He's trying to get him to pay attention and to listen to what he's saying and to listen to wisdom especially. In verse 20 he says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with the full of their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Now, you try to give people advice. Kids, you say, okay, you got to have some independence. I understand that. You're still part of this family, but let me steer you. Let me give you some things to look out for and warnings, things that are coming your way. And kids say, you know what? You don't know anything. The word sophomore, we have sophomoric people in the world. And the word sophomore comes from two words, the word sophos, which means wise, and moros, which means foolish. So when we take a sophomoric approach, and usually when kids are about that age, sophomore in high school or sophomore in college, unfortunately, we're still in that mode. Nobody can tell us anything. We are wise fools. We won't listen to any wisdom. We're wise in our own foolishness. Now, you say, okay, well, you got to put up with that. I understand that. But at some point, the comforting thing here is, even as a church, there are things sometimes as a church you have to do to pull people back in and try to bring things back around. But you know what? If that doesn't work, I got a hammer. And my hammer is the Holy Spirit. And I say, okay, Lord, my job is to watch out, and the elder's job in this church is to watch out for these sheep. But some of these sheep aren't listening. So I tell you what, sick them. And the Holy Spirit has a way of coming your way and changing your way to His way. And thank God He does it. We've talked about this in the past, the discipline of the Lord. It's proof that He loves us. And it is not fun, but you're either going to learn His way or your way. His way is hard enough sometimes. Our way, the way of the sinner, the Bible says, is always hard. It is hard. The Christian life can be difficult, but don't make your life hard. It doesn't have to be hard unless you're bullheaded, stubborn, and have to do it your way. If you go to Luke 15, we're not going to read the whole thing, but one of my favorite stories in the whole book is about the prodigal son. We call him the lost son. And it starts out in verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, and that's all you got to hear. The younger one sophomorically says, you know what? I'm out of here. In fact, I'm so out of here, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I want an inter vivos executed. I want a living will. I want my share, divide up, you know, give my brother what's his. I know he'll get twice as much, but give me mine. I am so done with this. I'm out of here. I don't know what you people are thinking. I got it all figured out. And you keep reading, and all he does is not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now that's what's hard to watch. And people come to a church, they get involved in a church, they're excited, they need you, they're growing, they get the milk, they get some meat, and then all of a sudden now I got a brain. They're sophomores now. I figured it all out. You people are screwed up. You don't know what you're doing. This is how you do it. I'll do a little bit of God when I choose to, but I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And you know what? The Father will let you go. It doesn't mean you're not His son. It doesn't mean you can't come home. But let me tell you something. It is a very painful place to be. There may be people sitting right here or beyond here. That's where you are. And now you've locked up and said, well, now I'm too proud to admit I've screwed up and that the Father is right and I'm wrong. It's the same problem that kids have. How hard is it for an adolescent to walk in and say, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I messed up. I'm sorry. I see now. Because when you're so determined to prove your way, you can't say somebody else is right. You're trying to prove you're right. The sooner you start saying God's right and you're wrong, the better your life is going to be. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me start in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll read down to the verses I'd like to end on. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. So there's one body, one Spirit. There's oneness here. We're trying to work together. And he gives gifts to bring this oneness about. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So these gifts were given. My job, the elder's job, the leadership job in a church is to help you mature to the point and equip you to do the work of the ministry. And as I alluded to a minute ago, when I see someone take initiative and step up the plate and say, there's something that needs to be done, I'll take care of that. And they do the work of the ministry, something's working. When no one can minister in a church, you figure out how old it is pretty fast because no one's willing to step up the plate. It's just a bunch of little kids spiritually and that needs to grow up. But after a certain amount of time, it should be growing up. And God sends these people and grows these people up. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A perfect man, meaning a mature man, where this thing is totally grown up. And then verse 14, this is where I'd like to focus a minute. That we should no longer be children. And the word here is metaphorically, it's not just an infant little child, a minor, not of age, but it's a childish, untaught, unskilled person. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, agitated like the waves mentally, where you're not settled down. It's kind of an adolescent approach. You don't know who you are, where you're going. At some point, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And the word there for grow up refers to, obviously, growth, but inward Christian growth. Something ought to be changing. Now, what is this about today? Where is this going? Where is this coming from? As we go along this process and as you show up, if you've just shown up, I don't know how old you are spiritually. And again, you say, well, I've been a Christian for 40 years. You may be 2 weeks old. And if that's how old you are, let's find that out and help you grow up. But if you are 2 weeks old and trying to act like you are 40 years old spiritually and you're not, you know what? Sooner or later, it's going to be obvious. Because 40-year-olds that are adults physically operate with certain responsibilities, take on responsibilities, and they do certain things, take initiative, they get it. And in a church, it needs people who walk in and say, you know what, this is hard work. The leadership is trying to take us in a direction. They believe this is what we need. And it's no-brainer stuff. For instance, small groups. You take a church and say, we can't do it all on Sunday with one large group. So what we do is we say, we've got leaders in place. We're breaking it down. We encourage you to go to small group. And then people say, well, I'm not interested in that. And you know what that says to me? You're a teenager. And if you say, well, but I don't believe in how y'all are doing that, then go somewhere that you believe in and get a family that you can get involved with. You say, well, but you're trying to run people off. No, I'm trying to raise a family here that will model something to other people who come in. Instead of saying we're all going to be rebellious teenagers, no, we're going to grow up and get in the game. I'd rather end up with 100 people down here that are connected than a bunch of spectators, a bunch of spoiled teenagers that just pick and choose. Now, I'm put up with it for a while, but obviously I'm done. And if you're a new teenager, just joined us, we'll give you a little while. We're not busting your chops. But for those of you that come in here saying, well, I just don't like the leaders, then become one. We'll fix it. You become one then. Now, if you were thinking this was going to be one of those pleasant days where you're going to feel good when you leave, you may feel better when you grow up. And every once in a while, we need to have a little conversation like this, I think.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, in the midst of all this, let me tell you the great side of this. The longer I do this and as long as I've been doing it, what is so cool, what is so amazing is that people show up and they grow up and they find a spot and God uses them. And they're not sitting around trying to be cool. Oh, what's everybody else doing? They just say, you know what? I'm alive, and God has put me in this church at this time for this purpose, and I'm going to do what he made me to do. And there may be churches doing it better. I'm sure there are. But you know what? God didn't put you in that church. And if he did, then you're messing this one up by staying. They're missing you over there. You might as well move on over there. But if you're going to be here, then say, okay, God, why am I here? You're either going to be breastfed the rest of your life or be a spoiled little teenager the rest of your life, or you say, you know what, it's my turn, and I'm gonna make the turn and get plugged in.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.